Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another great show for you this morning, my conservative friend. Henry Hollingshead is in the building this morning. Good morning, Henry.
Ron, nice to be back.
Absolutely. Hey, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning.
Yes, we do. We've had some people have some good days and some bad days.
And by good days and bad days, I'm assuming you're talking about Hillary Clinton.
Well, Hillary Clinton, Eric Cantor.
Yeah.
You know, they both had not really a good week.
Well, no, actually, Hillary Clinton had a great week. This week, because she was on CNN, she was on Fox, she went into the lion's den to be interrogated by some idiots on Fox.
Well, you know, if we back up a little bit, we see where Hillary Clinton started with this thing. And when she came out and she said that when she left the White House, they were broke.
Yeah.
Well, were the pardons just kind of like cash flow?
Wait, but it's all relative. I mean, she's broke in her neck of the woods. You know, there's a difference between broke and being, you know, middle class and poor, and there's a difference in terms of being broke if you're wealthy.
I understand that after you sign your $8 million book deal and sign up $100 million in the speaking engagement, it takes a little cash flow.
Well, she
got a couple pardons, you're done.
Well, she suspended her sanity and even some of her stature to be interviewed on Fox, and she did a great town hall. She was very crisp, very clean. She articulated well, and she was able to literally articulate the points that folks on Fox News really couldn't lay a glove on this woman. And it was such a profound moment to see these folks try their best to interrogate her, but again, they couldn't lay a glove on her.
Well, Ron, if you say to someone, "Where were you?" and they tell you where they were, and then you go, "Oh, okay," then what are you going to do? Well, but my question is, she got up there and she said when they let the five generals go for the deserting private, my question is very simply, she said, "Well, they're not a threat to America."
Well, here's the deal.
What do you mean they're not a threat to America?
Well, here's the deal, Henry. For all of the feigned outrage that these folks expressed on Fox News, I mean, endless coverage of this Benghazi story, and for them to have her within their grasp and not be able to lay a glove on her, it just speaks volumes about the idiocy and the lunacy that has been expressed by Fox News.
I think that they did a poor job.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really do. But I think when we get to the hearings, I think you're going to see a little different attitude.
Well, I think, again, for me, she was well prepared. A reasonable person would walk away assuming, and not just assuming, but concluding that there was nothing there. There was no there. Anyway, the ringleader of the attack in Benghazi, Ahmad Abu Qatala, he was arrested.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And it was only after six interviews on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and everybody else. It was, and the answer from the State Department, when they asked him, "How is it that this guy can give interviews and you couldn't catch him?" when the answer was, "Well, we didn't think he'd show up if we told him we were going to catch him," is not what we're looking for here.
Unbelievable. Well, see, my perspective is this. First of all, he's been under surveillance, so we know that he was being watched. Second of all, every interview that he's conducted with CNN and other news outlets, apparently the process was he was actually calling them to meet him at particular locations, and
we couldn't
that kind
pick
of thing.
Him up.
Well, hey, listen, I think those terrorists are a little bit more sophisticated than what we perceive them to be, particularly on television. And so I think, again, it besmirches our military and the special forces who actually led the charge in picking up this guy. And I think I, first of all, thank those brave men and perhaps women who went out and risked their lives to pick this guy
up. Absolutely.
It
kudos to them. Fabulous
and so
job.
Now,
you finally got the paperwork and you did it. Great job.
Well, look, he's under interrogation at this point. As we speak, the FBI will be doing their own interrogation in terms of gathering evidence to actually put him through the federal court process. So it's going to be interesting how all of this plays out.
It really will be, because when they ask him the questions, how did you set this thing up? Where did you come from? Who knew about it? These questions are the questions that we really want to get answered.
Well,
you talk about the fog of war, this is going to help clear what happened.
Well, interestingly, it is now beginning to surface, at least according to some of the information trickling out from these interrogations, that he was motivated by a videotape that disturbed his sensibilities and disrespected Islam. And so that is coming out. And in fact, I think Susan Rice might be owed an apology by you, by Fox News, and all of those right-wing hags who have been vilifying and eviscerating Susan Rice for suggesting that the videotape started all this. This man is indicating that that videotape actually played a role in starting all of this stuff.
Well, we're going to have to see how this all plays
out.
I don't owe anybody anything at the moment.
Real quick, and we have to move on to what is happening with ISIS and Iraq. Your thoughts about his being tried in federal court?
I think it's wrong.
Why is it wrong?
I think that he should not be accorded the rights of a United States citizen. He is not a United States citizen. We did not grab him on our land. No, I think that's totally wrong.
Well,
I honestly think what we should have is a tribunal, put him up against the wall, get all the information we can, and shoot him.
Well,
done.
A tribunal, first of all, and we have had more success in the federal courts than we had in military. And so one of the interesting things about your argument is that it falls by the wayside. We have had more success, and here's the point. Since September 11, 2001 attacks, New York's University Center on Law and Security reports that 578 terrorism-related cases inspired by jihadist ideas have been prosecuted in U.S. federal courts. During that same time period, the military commissions in Guantanamo have completed only 7 cases. And so the efficiency and the efficacy of being in the federal court is far more successful than it would be if we allowed the military in a military tribunal, as you suggested.
That just shows the incompetency of the military tribunal.
Well,
it's as simple as that, Ron.
But if we want a successful prosecution of this guy, as we've done in previous cases, he should be in federal court.
Ron, we should have never brought him over here.
Well,
we should have tried him over there. We should have something like a Nuremberg trial system over there.
Well,
decide what to do.
Well,
if we're fighting a war over there, let's decide what we're going to do.
Well, we don't bring
them back here and give them all their rights.
Well, I have confidence in our federal system to be able to successfully prosecute this guy, as we have done with these other terrorists, and I happen to believe that we can do it, and we have the wherewithal to get it done.
So Eric Holder never makes a mistake.
And we all make mistakes, Henry.
Okay, then.
Let's talk about what's going on in Iraq.
Oh, this is a terrible mess. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it has degenerated into a complete mess. Fear is gripping the cities, the towns, the streets. Chaos is all over the place. And ISIS has captured so far Mosul, Tikrit, Baji, and Duwalawa, and a couple of other areas. And of course, it's difficult for me to pronounce some of these names. But interestingly, what we're seeing is utter chaos unfolding in Iraq.
It is not only in Iraq. It is in Syria.
Sure.
Now Iran wants to get involved. You can say what you want, but when President Obama took, you have to look at history. And what preceded before President Obama came into office, good, bad, indifferent, this is the situation that it was in when President Obama got to office. Okay?
Wait a second.
Now I want to say this.
Sure.
Okay? All the blame goes directly to President Obama and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Look, they passed on the Arab Spring. They're the ones that left Iraq early. They let Assad and Syria off the hook. They had the famous reset with Russia. They have allowed the mass exodus on the southern borders. They're the ones that turned down Keystone, and now Europe is going to suffer for that one, and you're going to see why that Keystone was so important, because Russia has turned off the gas to the Ukraine.
Every time,
if we would have had the Keystone, we would have had
Henry,
that.
And every time I pull up to a gas station and you mentioned Keystone, I want to throw up. Right now, we should be harnessing our energy in other places, particularly the sun. I think solar is in our future. And I think that if we continue to be beholden to foreign oil, foreign gas, and even in the United States, where you mentioned the Keystone, I think we have to wean ourselves off of fossil fuels and begin to engage solar so that our energy needs are met in a more robust way, in a way economically beneficial to the American people. And if we continue to rely on fossil fuels, we're going to continue being in this position.
If we decide to go down that road that you're on right now, you are going to literally cost Europe almost everything.
Well,
you can't do it this way. This idea, this great view of, oh, we can get it from the sun and all this kind of stuff.
We need to make the investment,
this,
Henry. I don't want to go off on that tangent. But I do want to suggest we need to make the investment. If it's not, we shouldn't put our eggs in one basket. If that's part of our future, there needs to be investment, robust investment in alternative
fuels.
But
what I'm talking about here is geopolitical economics as it is on the ground at the moment. Okay? They're also the ones that had the bad intelligence in Iraq. They lost that country so fast, Obama couldn't even get up and fend outrage.
Well, right now, upward of 1 million refugees are fleeing towns that are being overrun by ISIS. And of course, if you don't know, the acronym of ISIS is Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And they are engaged in a brutal campaign
right now.
To establish a caliphate across Syria and Iraq. And for those of you who don't know what a caliphate is, it is an Islamic state led by a supreme religious and political leader known as a caliph, a successor to Muhammad and other prophets of Islam. And so what we're seeing, Henry, unfolding right now, it's not simply the birth of a group that really Al-Qaeda is denouncing, and that says a whole lot, but Al-Qaeda is denouncing their brutality, and it seems to me that they are on par in terms of similarity when the Taliban came into power when the Soviet Union left Afghanistan. And so now they are engaged in this religious fanaticism that is going to take over huge swaths of the Middle East. And that is something that we need to be concerned about.
And do you know that we had the leader of that in custody?
Who, Maliki?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The head of ISIS. Mm-hmm. We had in custody. And when he walked out of the prison, he looked at the warden dead in the eye and he said, "I'll see you in New York." And that's a fact.
Yeah. Well, 275 Marines are already there in Iraq, and they are there tasked with the responsibility of protecting the embassies. 100 special forces are going to be sent there to advise and to train. We already have an aircraft carrier there, 2 warships to launch cruise missiles. But President Obama is suggesting, at least at this point, that there will not be any combat troops in Iraq as a result of this violence.
Well, let me ask you a question here. Now, we're not going to have combat troops in Iraq, but we're fortifying the enemy, fortifying our position. What happens when they attack? Now, remember one thing. When they came down, when ISIS came down, they picked up Stingers, they picked up tanks, they picked up everything dropped by the Iraqi army. Mm-hmm. They also went through and got something like $40 million in cash. They've got gold. They're well-equipped. They have plenty of money. This is a serious, serious problem. One mistake that America is going to make in this whole deal is if we get in bed with Iran.
Well, yeah. And interestingly, before we even had that conversation about Iran, I find it amazing that Bill Kristol and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz, that entire cadre of warmongering neocons, are now speaking out, and now they are responsible for this mess.
No, they're not.
The seeds had been planted years ago.
Yeah. When President Obama came into office, they were in control of the government in Iraq. They were they had Syria on their heels, and they had a chance to take out Iran in the Arab Spring. This is all their problem.
First of all, the seeds of this crisis was when the Bush administration, not the Obama administration, they violently and actively opposed the Sunni-dominated Ba'ath Party to participate in the post-Saddam government. That's the seed that has been planted, because this is as a result. What we're seeing now is the sectarian violence as a result of Maliki refusing to allow the Sunni to participate in this government.
Why is Malachi in charge?
He was in charge when Bush was in office.
So why didn't you throw him out?
Well, first of all, this was already negotiated.
So why didn't you do something about it? If you didn't like the way that it was, you saw it was going wrong, you were in charge, why didn't you change it?
The Malachi government, as corrupt as it was, the Malachi government is responsible for what we're seeing, number one, and number two, he was already in the position where he is now. He was already in that position.
So we couldn't take him out?
In terms of how? You mean bomb him out?
No.
So what are you saying?
No.
So what are you saying?
If we have taken over the country, we are responsible for that country. We broke the country. We came over.
Who broke the country?
The United States.
Okay.
We came over and we broke the country. We took it over from Saddam Hussein.
What administration broke that country?
Oh, the Bush.
Okay.
No problem.
So now we are in a position. And first of all, and what is so interesting, even about your own argument, is that it was already an agreement that our soldiers would be pulled out of Iraq. So we're seeing the results of our soldiers being pulled out of Iraq.
So why didn't you change it?
But there was an agreement. First of all, you can't... Well, are you saying that we ought to be violating agreements, or is that what you're suggesting?
When we
invest blood and treasure, you're suggesting that we ought to be violating agreements that were made.
What I am suggesting is that when we have taken over a country, we have to do what is best for that country. If we put someone in that cannot do the job, it is our responsibility. Because we are in charge of finding someone that can. That's being in management. You have to be able to change. Well, the guy never made it. He walked in and he said, okay, this is the way it is. We'll just leave it this way. You can't do it that way.
And I think Lindsey Graham would perhaps agree with you. Let's take a listen to what he has to say.
If Baghdad falls and the central government collapses in Iraq, the Iranians are the biggest winner. We're the biggest loser. This stubborn-headed president we have, who thinks he knows better than everybody else, who withdrew troops and exposed this country to the inevitable, needs to change his policies quickly. If he does, we can still save this.
Well, Ron, I don't understand where he's wrong. I mean, look, it's broken. We have to fix it. He wouldn't make any decisions to change anything. When you take over a country, when you run a country, you have to look at the situation of what it is, and you have to make changes. When he took over, he never made any changes, and he just let it go. And this is what happened. Well, now I have a question.
Well,
they want to get into bed now with Iran, and this is just insanity.
Well, first of all, let's just go back here. First of all, Bush signed an agreement for the withdrawal of our troops back in 2008. With the support of our presence in Iraq dwindling and our appetite for war wearing thin, President Obama was right to adhere to that agreement. This is especially true when Bush and Cheney, they are the ones that propped up Maliki. Now, whether or not he should have actively worked to get Maliki out, the fact of the matter is, when we do nation building, this is the result. We can't go in and just violate state agreements just because we see, first of all, they are responsible for their country.
That's the problem, Ron. They're not. They're not.
But first of all, it would be absolutely ridiculous if there was something to erupt in our country and we had other people telling us what we ought to do. We cannot do that. We give these folks an opportunity to work out their problems. What they need to do right now, what the Malachi government needs to do, is to make sure there's a political solution to all of this. And that entails the Sunni and the Shiites being able to govern together. That is their responsibility. That's the political solution that needs to be worked out. We can't force them to do that. Now what we're seeing at this point is that now Malachi is forced to do this. There's something that should have been done years ago. I agree. The problem is we cannot force them to do it. Now he's begging us for help.
Okay. The other side of the coin is this. We went in there and we took Saddam Hussein out.
And we ought not to have done that.
But we did it.
Sure.
All right. Now, you know, you break the glass. It's who broke the glass? We broke the glass.
The Bush administration broke the glass.
Whoever.
I want to make that clear.
Yeah, okay, fine. The glass has been broken, okay? Now, somebody has to clean up the mess. We pick in what we cannot go in there, a country that has not run itself for 15 years, and expect it to be able to run itself. There's no one that knows how.
Well, I think President Obama would disagree with you. Take a listen to this.
Now, this threat is not brand new. Over the last year, we've been steadily ramping up our security assistance to the Iraqi government with increased training, equipping, and intelligence. Now, Iraq needs additional support to break the momentum of extremist groups and bolster the capabilities of Iraqi security forces. We will not be sending U.S. troops back into combat in Iraq, but I have asked my national security team to prepare a range of other options that could help support security forces, and I'll be reviewing those options in the days ahead. I do want to be clear, though. This is not solely or even primarily a military challenge. Over the past decade, American troops have made extraordinary sacrifices to give Iraqis an opportunity to claim their own future. Unfortunately, Iraqis' leaders have been unable to overcome too often the mistrust and sectarian differences that have long been simmering there. And that's created vulnerabilities within the Iraqi government as well as their security forces. So, any action that we may take to provide assistance to Iraqi security forces has to be joined by a serious and sincere effort by Iraq's leaders to set aside sectarian differences, to promote stability, and account for the legitimate interests of all of Iraq's communities, and to continue to build the capacity of an effective security force. We can't do it for them. And in the absence of this type of political effort, short-term military action, including any assistance we might provide, won't succeed. So this should be a wake-up call. Iraq's leaders have to demonstrate a willingness to make hard decisions and compromises on behalf of the Iraqi people in order to bring the country together. In that effort, they will have the support of the United States and our friends and our allies.
And that, to me, Henry, is the central theme here.
Absolutely.
Is that these folks have a responsibility, the Malachi government, which, of course, is being propped up not only by the United States, but also Iran. But ultimately, they have the responsibility of inclusion, excluding the Sunnis from any decision making capacity and excluding them from government is the result we're seeing on the streets today.
The United States of America was responsible for picking the government of Iran. They did an extremely poor job of it. They wouldn't change. They stayed with the program even though they knew it was bad. That's what happened. You were in control. What happened in Syria? You had Assad on his heels. He was done. He was finished. He's now has come back.
Well,
why?
You know, but see that the
you had a chance in Iran with the Arab Spring,
but
and you let it go.
But
the problem is you won't when the situation evolves and you have a chance to make a decision and to do something to change the way that it was going, you failed every time.
See, the problem is, Henry, again, is that the folks in that part of the world, they have to make strategic decisions, number one. Number two, they have to take responsibility for their own lives. And in the event that we have to participate in helping them in certain areas, we do that. But we do that at arm's length, knowing that ultimately they are responsible. And see, and the problem that I have, particularly with Republicans, is that I don't want the criticism that they've been leveling at President Obama without the history involved here. The seeds had been planted long ago. Now, perhaps President Obama should have forced a change. You know, I accept that. But the bottom line is, what I don't want is a president that's going to be blustering and chest thumping and forcing his will and imposing on other people. I do not want that. I want a president who's going to think through all of these problems, who's going to mull over all of our options, and who's going to make strategic decisions that ultimately protects the American people. That's what I want from our president. I don't want a blustering, chest-thumping president who's going to get us into this kind of situation that Bush has gotten us into.
The Bush administration and the Obama administration. The Bush administration was ready, shoot, aim. The Obama administration is ready, aim, aim, aim.
So, in other words,
they don't do anything.
Well, first of all, Henry, first of all, again, I go over this again. Go ahead.
Who's the enemy here?
What do you mean, who's the enemy?
We're fighting a war over there, right? Who are we fighting against? Right now,
our defined enemy is ISIS. Our defined enemy is Al-Qaeda. And in the event that there is a government that we prop up to protect themselves and to ultimately work in conjunction to stave off attacks, those are our particular enemies, Henry. So that's the bottom line. But that's neither here nor there.
No. The bottom line is, who are we fighting? And in my opinion, what we should do is we should put this on the level that they're fighting us. Okay? What the enemy should be is Sharia law.
Listen, here's the deal. I'm not getting into cultural and religious issues. I am talking about the strategic military options that we have available to us. I don't want to get in because, first of all, I'm not interested in changing anybody's culture. If they live by Sharia law outside of the violence that they're perpetrating, then so be it. That is their culture. That's the tradition that they want to adhere to. And in the event that they are exercising violence, that's when we intervene. But outside of that, I'm not interested in anyone from Russia or anyone from any other country coming into America suggesting that we should change our culture. We are not in the business of changing people's culture. We're in the business of saving lives. I want to be clear about this. I want a president who is going to mull over our options, not getting there, act in haste, and without thinking through our problems and thinking through solutions. I want an appropriate assessment of the crisis, not a manufactured set of assumptions to get us into another kind of quagmire.
How are we doing right now in Iraq? How are we doing right now? How do you think we're doing right now?
Well, right now we're sending
troops. How do you think we're doing in Syria?
Right now we're sending troops to stave off this ISIS group from going in to Baghdad.
It's a complete mess.
I started off the show suggesting that it's a complete mess. Sure, no.
Who's
problem.
Been in charge?
In terms of what? America or what?
America took over the country and they were in charge.
Well, first of all, after we withdrew our troops, Henry,
biggest mistake to do the way they did it.
Well, the bottom
they
line is...
They were told straight out, do it that way, they're going to come in right out over the hills as soon as you leave.
The bottom line, we had an agreement with the Malachite government to withdraw our troops. We had the agreement.
Again.
And because they did not want to sign a status of force agreement that would have protected American troops from some salacious.
They didn't even try.
Who didn't try? We did try. What are you talking about? The Bush administration tried. It wasn't accepted. The Obama administration tried. It wasn't accepted. So when you have a Shiite government led by Malachi working in conjunction with an Iranian government, which again is a Shiite form of government, the problem is we cannot change culture. All we can do at best is to make sure that the violence is held to a minimum. That's all that we can do. If we are propping up governments and we are suggesting that we impose our will on other countries and other cultures, that is going to be a major bone of contention, and that's why the violence continues to erupt in the Middle East. Henry, okay. We're running out of time already, man.
All right, wow.
Henry, thank you so much for coming in, talking about this very important issue. We are always going at it, but I enjoy having this robust discussion.
Ron, thanks so much for having me. It's always been a pleasure.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9, 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.